Welcome back to another episode of A Desi Woman Podcast. I am your host, Sonia Gokwai, and the voices I am seeking may have never been heard before, but their stories deserve to be told. What is a Desi woman? She is a dynamic, fearless, and strong woman. She is your mother, your grandmother, your daughter, your sister. She is every one of us who is on an endless pursuit of self-empowerment and fulfillment. I am Sonia Gokwai, and I am a Desi woman.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of A Desi Woman Podcast. I am your host, Sonia Gokwai, and today we are so excited to be joined by Rashmi Rustagi. Rashmi is an actor, writer, producer, and food blogger based in California. She has pursued acting from a very young age, starting out as a radio actor in All India Radio plays in Lucknow, India. A fluent Hindi, Urdu, and English speaker, Rashmi has performed in several theater productions while living in the Bay Area and is currently a film and television actor in Hollywood, working with some of the biggest names in the industry. She is now putting the finishing touches on a feature film script. Rashmi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Rashmi, we are so excited to have you, and your resume and work experience are absolutely amazing. You've worked with the biggest names in Hollywood. As I was researching you for the show, I was just blown away. And I wanted to ask how you got involved in acting, and have you always had your family's support in pursuing this endeavor?
Yes. So, you know, my mom was an All India Radio artist in Lucknow, which is where I was born and I grew up. And so we started doing radio plays as child artists, as a child actor, radio actor from the age of 9, I started doing, and some of my siblings, and then they dropped out, but I continued. And then I did theater as a teenager. I did runway modeling as a teenager in Lucknow. And then I got married after college and came to the U.S. My husband grew up in Columbus, Ohio. And so I came to the U.S. after that. I had an arranged marriage, and I tried to go back to school, tried to get my MBA degree, did not do any theater or radio work because of the places that we lived. And because at the time, 30-some years ago, there was no work for brown people. So, there was not even theater. So I continued. And then about 25 years ago, my husband and I finally moved to Palo Alto, California, where there's a huge theater industry for Desi theater, for Indian theater. One of the companies is called Natak. And I started working with Natak, and it was such a pleasure, such a joy to be able to speak in Hindi or to just listen to other people speaking in Hindi in live theater. And so that's how I resurrected my acting career, doing theater, and then finally gravitating toward Hollywood and doing film and television.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. And, you know, so not only did you write and produce the film entitled Unborn, but you also star in the film, which is now currently streaming on Amazon Prime. And I'm going to have the link in the podcast notes. And you just won the Best Supporting Actor Award from the Indian Film Festival in Cincinnati. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And while it's common knowledge that female feticide is common in India and its surrounding countries, what surprised even you, as you indicated in a recent interview, is the fact that feticide is also practiced by Indian Americans and South Asians in certain parts of the U.S. And so just wanted to see if you could tell me more about what inspired you to write a script about feticide as it's such an unfortunate phenomenon.
Yeah. And, having lived here longer than I lived in India, you know, it was there. You hear stories here and there, but you don't think about that here in America. And I was visiting my gynecologist for a routine checkup one day. She's a middle-aged Indian woman. And she said that I'm so frustrated. And she started, talking about her day and saying that today I had another female Indian patient who has two daughters. And I did not want to do her ultrasound because the first thing they ask is, they don't ask, is it a healthy baby? The first thing they ask is it a boy or a girl? And I just don't, because she's got two girls, I'm afraid that if it's another girl, it's going to be gone. And I said, what do you mean it's going to be gone? She said, she's going to get an abortion. And my jaw dropped. I said, are you kidding me? Here in America? Really? She said, no. And she was so frustrated. And she said, Rashmi, you're a creator. You're a storyteller. Why don't you tell, and you're an actor, why don't you tell the story? So my first thought was to make a documentary film. And so I talked to a lot of other OBGYNs in town. They had similar stories. Then I talked to some filmmakers and they said, documentary is a whole different beast. You have to do so much research. You have to have so much funding to do the research. So why don't you just write a story and give it a point of view? And so I thought, okay, unless and until the change starts from the woman who stands up and says, no, this is my body. I take a stand. I will do what I want to do with this baby. I don't care what you say. So with that in mind, I wrote this story to bring A, this issue to light, and B, for the woman to start taking a stand. You cannot change other people. So therefore, you start to change from within and start taking a stand. So I wrote this short film. I had a producer who was going to produce it, and he backed out 10 days before the project. So I ended up becoming the producer by default. I wrote the small actor part for me because I was going to be more on the periphery working other aspects of the movie making. And so I'm glad I didn't have a bigger part. I wrote and I found this amazing actor who brought the young woman's character to life. So that's where it all started. And I was, you know, so happy that I could finish that project in spite of everything else that was handed out to me.
It is absolutely incredible project. And I was just blown away by it. And I'm going to ask you, in researching again for this interview, I saw that there's a lot of reasons why women and our culture still so much want a male child. But many of these women are pressured by their in-laws, their husbands, and there's a whole host of reasons. And I just want to see what your thoughts are on this. And just, I mean, already because of this phenomenon, whatever you want to call it, infanticide, the numbers are skewed. There's not enough girls in India. There's not enough women in China. And it's just perplexing, this obsession.
Yeah. Yes. And in some parts, you know, as I was doing the research, so the difference between feticide is that you get rid of the baby, the fetus. Infanticide is you get rid of the baby after it's born. And both are being practiced in India. And in some villages, there was a statistic, this one village in Haryana bragged that there has not been a girl baby in their village for 100 years. Now, how possible is that? Right? Basically, infanticide is happening in those villages. And as a result, there's such a shortage in some parts of Punjab, there's such a shortage of girls that there's one girl for two, three boys in a family, or girls are being raped. So again, it perpetuates the violence against women by getting rid of women. It's such a vicious cycle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, based on Hollywood being the origin of the Me Too movement, it could be easy to presume that gender bias, ageism, and racism are quite prevalent for you. And you mentioned that you experienced that at the early part of your career in this country. But even now, I wanted to ask you, you know, you look at your career and you have been very busy with projects and worked with some of the biggest names in Hollywood. And now here you are, a woman of color in 2021, who's writing, producing, and acting in a film. And in this industry, I thought that demonstrates power. And so, you know, it's kind of a dichotomy here, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, so the Me Too movement is fairly recent. And I am not a young actor or even, you know, I'm on the higher range of age range. So I sometimes worry that I may have missed the tide or I may have missed the boat in terms of the Me Too movement now starting and this year and last year, a little bit because of COVID, but the year before that, there were a lot more parts being written for brown people. Last year, we had this series on Netflix, Never Have I Ever, that is the first real series made by brown people for brown people and major cast as brown people and primarily women. So I'm hoping that I will be able to benefit from this change now that the people of color, the BIPOC actors, are being recognized and given parts and written parts. And hopefully the trend continues and the next generation benefits from that. They're making a lot of animated shows as well. I am a series regular in an animated show, which is all about brown people. And Nickelodeon is making that. I have the voiceover for that, one of the characters in there. So I'm hoping that this trend will continue and that the next generation will really, really benefit, not just by participating in it, but as viewers. There's so little content for my children to see brown people up on screen or up on stage. So I'm delighted that that's happening. And I started writing because everybody kept saying, hey, if there are no doors, create a door. There are no doors, create a door. So I very reluctantly started writing. I've finished writing a feature film, which is about a middle-aged Indian woman with a lot of the issues that we first-generation women have to deal with while trying to raise children in America. So you're juggling both aspects of the culture and trying to find that sweet balance. So I've written that. And then another short film that I just finished writing and acting in, and it's in post-production. So I'm just going to continue to create the work that perhaps is not there or is not there for sure.
I love that. That is absolutely amazing. I mean, and like you said, you built the door, literally, which didn't exist. And out of curiosity, I myself, I'm not a big follower of Bollywood films, but it's a completely different industry. And yet, I know that there's obvious sexism in both industries. But just curious if you have any thoughts in regards to Bollywood in general. And have you done any work in India or been approached to do so? Would you be interested in that?
Oh, I would love to do work in India. I have, I was raised in a small town in India and just had my nose to the books and finished college. So no, in terms of film, I didn't do any work. You had to be in Mumbai or Bombay to do that. But the industry has changed dramatically. There's such good work, independent film that's coming out of India. That's amazing and awesome. Telling true stories, telling stories that are about real people, not the dancing made up leading lady who's not really in touch with reality. So there has been a huge shift, I would say, because of digital cinema, which gave me the opportunity to make a film as well, because the budget is a lot lower. There's amazing, at these film festivals, like at the Cincinnati Film Festival, there was some amazing work done by well-known actors and directors in Bollywood that have made independent cinema on the side. Stories that they really want to tell, which are not going to be necessarily blockbusters in terms of, money making.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible. And I just want to make sure this is Cincinnati, Ohio, like yes. 2 hours near me. Okay. I was like, I feel just special. It's in the state of Ohio. That really explains, the global reach of what you guys are doing. And I was just amazed that there's a film festival there. And then these other indie films that you're talking about, I'm going to have to check them out because it defies some of the stereotypes of Bollywood films anyway.
Right.
Interesting stuff coming out of there.
This is wonderful. I'm so glad. I want to get the message across of my movie. It's available on Amazon Prime. Unborn is streaming on Amazon Prime, but it's for US and UK. And then it's also streaming on moviesaints.com for the rest of the world. So it's available to be watched anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, because we have a lot of listeners in the South Asia region, and I will have all of this in the podcast notes.
Awesome. So, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Rashmi. Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.